Hello and welcome to the Salem Station Podcast. It's me, your boy, Alex, with who are you?
My name is Robert. I'm another co-host here on the show.
And we are here to cover recent phenomena, Long Legs.
Yes.
Which is funny because we have yet to see the movie.
Yeah, we actually, as of recording right now, have not seen the horror movie yet. However, we will. We will. Alex had an idea, actually. Alex, you want to explain the idea, why we're here?
Yeah, so the main idea was, since everybody is raving about this movie, I mean, it has gotten insane reviews from critics and from, you know, normal people alike. Normal people mean like the typical audience. I don't know why I phrase it that way.
Okay.
We thought we would take a minute before we saw the movie and kind of offer our expectations. Now, we know basically nothing about this movie. We haven't really seen anything about it other than like the trailer, right?
I'm gonna be honest, I haven't even seen the trailer myself. I've just seen like the posters.
I thought you did see the trailer.
The posters are like red and black, like they have like a red and black motif, and it's just the word Long Legs, and like it's some creepy imagery. I've seen the poster of let me see if I can send it to you actually. It's quite freaky. The poster that I have in mind is the poster of what appears to be a person or two, kind of laying on the floor with like a blanket or a something covering them, and you just see their legs sticking out. I don't know if you can see that, Alex. Oh, it's extremely pixelated, but that's the poster I've seen. It looks really freaky.
Yeah, and I actually did see the trailer, and I don't remember too much from it, honestly. I just kind of watched on the side. It seems pretty interesting. From what I see on like Wikipedia and such, it seems like a horror mystery, and I think that's kind of what it's described as. I'm not certain. I mean, they kind of infer, I guess, there's like maybe some supernatural elements, but I don't know. I mean, kind of with that knowledge, what are you thinking?
You know, I guess part of me, see, I don't know. This is a rarity, and I think this is why you proposed this idea, because like I'm not too certain what to expect. I guess maybe supernatural. It could be grounded. It could be a mixture of the both. All I know is that Nicolas Cage is in it. But in terms of like,
that is true.
In terms of like the actual premise, like I'm not quite too sure what it is. I don't know. I've made sure to kind of steer clear of any spoilers that may come up. Oh, I do know that there's like weird symbols throughout the movie. I have seen that in the marketing as well, and certain images and posters. So I don't know. I mean, it could be. I have no clue.
Yeah, I've seen. So it. Well, I mean, here's. Do you know the basic rundown of the movie, right?
I think so. It's almost like Silence of the Lambs, right?
That's what they're saying. Yeah. So there's been a few reviews. One of them saying like this is the modern day Silence of the Lambs, which I got a little nervous about because that movie made me fall asleep. yell at me if you want. That movie.
It's understandable. That's not understandable. Yeah. But I have had some hot takes too. So.
Yeah, I mean we've had our hot takes, but people are saying that it's like a modern day Silence of the Lambs. It's basically a movie about a serial killer and a cop kind of tracking them down. That's kind of like the basic rundown of the movie. Of course, like, you know, I'm sure it's going to go like a lot more in depth, and there's going to be kind of like games and stuff that they're playing inside of it.
Is that, you know, that's for certain, or is that something you're insinuating?
Yeah, that's the description of the movie. There's a prolific serial killer going around, and the main character, she's the woman, I don't know her name, she's kind of like the main character hunting down this serial killer,
right?
And like, you know, trying to bring him to justice. So it's not an unheard of premise.
Mm-hmm.
But the way that they've gone about it, and people are saying it's legitimately terrifying, which I find really interesting, because that's the stuff that I find terrifying. I'm not a little peep into my brain. Monsters are scary. Vampires, you know, werewolves, supernatural shit, like Terrorizer, the clown from Terrorizer, Arthur, right? Was his name?
How did you get that so wrong?
His name is Art. Art the
clown. It's Terrifier. You got both so wrong.
What did I say? I said Terrifier.
You said Terrorizer.
Rewind. God, that didn't happen.
By the way, I don't know if our listeners can pick. We're recording this before we watch the movie, a couple hours beforehand.
Yes, we're recording this.
We're recording this like in the middle of the day. We've never recorded in the middle of the day. So if you hear any noises from my end, apologies. I don't know if it's getting picked up or not. Anyways,
but our audio quality is always shit, so it doesn't really matter.
On with Arthur from Terrorizer.
I'm going to throat punch you when I see you in the next 30 minutes.
Oh, no.
But like shit like that's scary, right? It's terrifying to think about. Like at night, it's scary. The scariest thing to me is people. Because like people are the ones that do the crazy shit, you know? Like in real life, like there are serial killers. Like somebody can just one day choose to snap. Like Richard Ramirez, the Night Stalker. You know, people like that. I don't think it was him. Well, I think it was him. He's like, if you left your doors unlocked, he considered it an invitation to just come in and kill you. Like, there's just people like that.
No, I did not know that. Yeah.
I think it was Richard Ramirez. I'm not sure. But there was a killer that did that. I mean, there's horrific things in the world. And that to me is more terrifying. So it is interesting that people are saying this is like absolutely horrifying, because people say that this is like people that don't get scared are like, oh yeah, I never get scared in movies, and this one threw me off. Like it makes me kind of excited, because it's been a long time since a movie legitimately creeped me the fuck out. I think the last movie that did that was, okay, you're gonna yell at me, some of the scenes in the new Exorcist movie. I'm
wow.
not stupid.
Dude, I really? I movies. Am back and everything goes downhill. How is that? Why is that a thing?
I'm going to scream. I'm going to do it. But yeah, like in The Exorcist, there were a couple scenes that kind of threw me out, but that's just because I have a soft spot for devils. They scare the shit out of me. But I just want to feel scared again. And me and Robert were actually talking about this. We were talking about Horror Nights, how Horror Nights isn't really that scary anymore.
The lines are scary.
The lines are the scariest part, honestly. So looking at a line saying, like, man, I got to stand here for 2 hours? Holy shit. But yeah, I mean, that's kind of my thoughts. I'm hyped. I think that's kind of my feelings. Like typically they kind of infer some supernatural stuff, like, oh, is he supernatural, this and that. My prediction is that it's not going to be supernatural. It's just going to be like a really messed up, like serial killer, like truly horrific.
Yeah.
And I have a fun little prediction that our main character will somehow be related to this serial killer.
Okay.
I believe that there will be some kind of familiar relation. I don't know. There's no basis for that. No basis at all. I haven't looked into any like in-depth reviews or anything. I have no idea. That's just a feeling I get. I could be completely off base. In fact, I'm 80% sure I'm off base. It's just a feeling I'm getting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I'm not getting any feelings, any,
You heard it here first. Robert called me a fucking idiot.
I'm both trying to add to this, but I'm also looking, apologies, at a menu for Thai food right now. This Thai food, let me just tell our listeners.
That is true. Rob, we have been here for about 20 minutes because Robert is losing his mind over trying to eat food before this.
Yeah. If they knew what I was looking at, dude, this looks good. This looks good. But you know what also looks good? Long legs looks good.
It does. I keep talking, I'm so sorry, but I just want to say, like, the fact it has such good reviews is very promising. Like, this has been such a good year for horror movies overall. We've been very, very this year, and I think last year as well, right? It's just been very, very good years for horror movie fans.
Abigail, you didn't watch that one. Like Maxine.
I didn't watch Abigail, but no, I heard great things from
that
him.
One. Like Lisa Frank. Oh wait, no, you didn't watch that one.
I know what you're talking. I know what you're inferring, and I hate you.
I'm joking. It has been a good. It has been a good year for horror so far.
I wouldn't know. Apparently.
No. Yeah.
But what about you, Robert? What are your predictions?
Dude, I mean, I know I said this. I know I say this every other episode. I know I said this for Abigail and Late Night with the Devil and all that. But I think this might go down as my favorite horror movie of the year, maybe.
Really? Well, I mean, let's not put all our eggs in one basket.
Oh, true.
Because we have been disappointed before. Specifically, you have been disappointed.
Oh,
before.
Yeah. I guess Maxine was a good example of that. You know what? I was thinking about that. Like, I was thinking a little bit more about Maxine. I think that might go down as my favorite horror movie of the year, actually.
I swear to God, Robert.
No, but yeah, you know what? It's best maybe not to, because I did disappoint my, that is kind of my fault, though. I was going in expecting, like, to see, like, I don't know, like, I don't know.
Like some kind of genius.
Yeah, something like that. I was expecting, like, I don't know. I was expecting maybe too much. It is entirely my fault. But I'll mitigate my expectations for Long Legs. But
yeah, that's also where I'm excited, but I'm also just like preemptively kind of mitigating myself, like my expectations. I'm very excited, but yeah, it's just like, I guess I'm kind of protecting myself a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And with that, we will provide our actual review of the movie once we watch it, in a couple of hours. For you guys, it'll be
For you guys, it'll be like right a now. Snap cut.
Yeah,
right about now.
And we're back. Back from the movie theater. We just watched the movie like a couple minutes ago. Indeed. This is probably the freshest episode we've ever made. I don't think we've ever done this before, where immediately after we record an episode.
Yeah. This is as fresh a response as you can get.
Yeah. And we're out of Long Legs. By the way, in case people were wondering, that Thai food that I was looking up earlier, it was pretty bomb.
It was pretty good. It was indeed pretty good.
It was as good as the pictures shown. Or as good as the pictures. You know what else was really good? The movie, Long Legs. I think it's safe to say, before we get into any specifics, it did match and maybe even exceed my expectations. The expectations that we discussed earlier on, I think it met them, and I think it surpassed them. I was amazed. What about your expectations, Alex? Did they meet them? Give me some info.
It met like 99% of them. There were a few things I was kind of disappointed by, but overall, very much enjoyed the movie.
That's good. Okay, before we get into any spoilers, because this is one of those movies where it's probably best if you go in not knowing, go in knowing as little as possible. I'm just going to say this on the top of the show. Go watch it. I would recommend this. I highly recommend this. And then come back and listen to the rest. Because we're going to get into spoilers, and I think there are aspects of this that it's probably best if you watch them on screen for the first time instead of hearing us describe it and then watching it on your own.
Oh, definitely.
And I think the scares are very effective. It's very effective in what it's trying to do. So I would say go right now. If you're listening to this and you haven't seen it yet, what are you doing? Go watch it, check it out, and come back afterwards. And now that you're back, hey, hi. Long Legs. Okay, now we're getting into spoilers. Oh, yeah, let's get into spoilers. So Long Legs takes place in the 90s. And I'm prefacing this because
are you going to explain how you figured that one out?
They have a picture of Bill Clinton in the FBI headquarters. So, you know, that's kind of, yeah, obviously 90s. They showed his face and
it's very funny how prominent it is. It is so prominent.
Yeah. Now, I think so. The reason why I mentioned this is because I'm not getting into the plot right now, but because it taking place in the 90s and the aesthetic that it has overall reminds me of some 90s properties that came out that have similar-ish vibes to this. And I feel like kind of what I mentioned earlier right now, I think it succeeds at what it's trying to do. In the 90s, there was a lot of, whether it be horror or thriller or horror adjacent, there were a lot of movies and shows that had that starred FBI agents, whether on their own or as a duo, and it was almost always exclusively in the Pacific Northwest, which is why I even told you, dude, this feels like it's in the Pacific Northwest. Like it feels gloomy. It feels like something that would take place, and it does. I was right. I think it takes place in Oregon, right? They mentioned that this is in Oregon.
I think so. Yeah.
Yeah. So I was right. I was spot on. And I know what they're going for. It's just such a specific genre. I don't even know if it has a name, but it's in the same wheelhouse as, and I think it was popularized by Twin Peaks. Have you ever seen Twin Peaks, Alex?
No, I have not. I've heard of it.
It is a show from the 90s, early 90s, and it is like this. Not getting into any spoiler territories with Twin Peaks. I mean, it's for like a 30-year-old show, so, you know, I guess really doesn't matter, but Twin Peaks takes place in the Pacific Northwest, and I think this is where this, and I love this subgenre. It's such a niche little genre, but I love it. It takes place in this logging community, and there is this FBI agent, and I think his name is Agent Cooper. I could be wrong. And he goes to this town to investigate the disappearance of a girl named Laura something. Laura Barnes? No. I don't remember her last name, but he goes to investigate this town. And it's this very weird, very eccentric little town in Twin Peaks. And I think it takes place in Washington State. And it's very wooded area, kind of like this, very gloomy. It feels like the Pacific Northwest. And it's about this FBI agent. Another property that kind of reminds me of this that's also from the early 90s is X-Files, which is a show I really love. And X-Files are two FBI agents, Agent Mulder and Agent Scully. And some of those episodes, a good chunk of them from the episodes that I've seen, they take place in the Pacific Northwest.
Is that what that show's about?
Yeah, it's two FBI agents who, so each episode kind of, it's almost like a monster of the week, or the overarching plot is about extraterrestrials, or trying to prove that extraterrestrials exist. And a good chunk of the episodes, from what I remember, take place in the Pacific Northwest. It feels like Twin Peaks. It feels like this. It's like a show, but it's like from the 90s, you know, so it's not like this where it's trying to be in the 90s. And then Silence of the Lambs, an FBI, I think it's FBI agent as well, I don't think that takes place in the Pacific Northwest. I mean, unless you want to double check for me. But that one, of course, it's going, it's trying to solve the case of the murderer of Buffalo Bill. Buffalo Bill is the villain of Silence of the Lambs. And Clarice is going to another serial killer, Hannibal Lecter, for help. So I feel like this tries to emulate that style of horror movies or horror shows or thrillers from that era, and I think it does it perfectly. I love that vibe. It's like this I think it's just a pop culture thing from the 90s, the Pacific Northwest being this hotbed of pop culture in the zeitgeist, because also early 90s, that's grunge, right? Grunge comes out of Seattle, Washington, Nirvana, and a couple of other bands. So it emulates that era so perfectly, dude. In that specific region of that specific era. So that's why I had to point out early on that this is in the 90s, because I think it tries to be like those properties, and I think it succeeds. Having seen Twin Peaks and X-Files and Silence of the Lambs, I think this falls right in line, but I think, it is awesome. So that's why I wanted to bring up, you know, it specifically takes place in that era. Also, obviously, cell phones aren't like a thing and whatnot, so it's not like you can like call for help, you know, whenever you need it and whatnot. It's Alex, I told you this in the theater, and I think this is true. This either is, and I know I joked about it at the beginning of this episode, that this could be my favorite horror movie of the year. I think it might be. My favorite horror movie of the year, and I think it might be one of the scariest, if not the scariest, horror movie that I've seen to come out in the last couple of years.
I would agree with that. I would agree with that. It definitely had its. It was definitely. I would describe it best as spoopy. No, not really spoopy. I would describe it as unnerving.
Unnerving.
It is tense. Very, very unnerving, tense, unsettling. They do a very good job. The cinematography, I was talking about it to Robert in the theater. Shit's so sharp and clear. It is like the cinematography in this movie was top notch.
It's so crisp.
The effects, it was so crisp. The effects were incredible. The audio work, like the way they use sound, the way they use sound and the way they didn't use sound, it was very like it was amazing to see how they directed your emotions. Like they were very good at making you feel tense when you needed to be tense, you know, afraid when you needed to be afraid. Like they're very, very good with that.
Mm-hmm.
They use a tactic that a lot of times doesn't work. And that is like, it's kind of a cheat code, I've heard it people describe as, but it's like when a movie all of a sudden it goes from really quiet to like really loud and puts like a loud screaming thing in your face. So it's like, oh, it's kind of just a cheap scare. They do that one or two times in this movie, and I feel like it actually works pretty well in the context of the scene.
With the jump scares.
Yeah. And it's done pretty well, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And it was definitely one of the scariest scenes of any movie. And it's just like the whole movie is just so unnerving, you know?
Yeah.
There's just like, even when they don't scare you, it's just like a feeling of unnerve. Dread, yeah.
I think that word is the word I would use to describe this. If I had one word to describe this movie,
I found myself hoping nothing would happen. Like I found myself like just sitting and like, please God, don't like, please nothing. And then like just let it stop.
I think it isn't one specific thing that brings about this sense of dread, this sense of unnerving. I think it's everything that comes to everything comes together. Yeah, so it's like perfectly.
The atmosphere, it's everything.
It's the atmosphere. It's the way things are shot. It's the colors. Some things look a little like muted. The red, when the red is introduced, the sound design.
Yeah, there's a lot of red in this movie. Holy crap.
Yeah, dude, the sound design. I love the noises. There's no soundtrack. And you pointed this out to me. I didn't realize it. There's no soundtrack, but the noises that they use, it amplifies certain sequences.
Yeah.
And the thing to really tie it all together to push the dread kind of a little bit over the limit is Nicolas Cage as Long Legs himself. When he's on screen and he's doing his thing, dude, that is unnerving. Wow. It is wild, dude. I mean, he is scary as Long Legs, dude.
Yeah, no, he is. I have to say, Nick Cage's acting was peak performance in this movie. He does an amazing job at just unnerving you and just making you feel just scared, like so.
Yeah.
So unnerved.
And scared for every person that he comes into contact with, that he interacts with. Like when he goes into that convenience store and the girl's at the counter, yeah. I'm like, wait, whoa, hold on. Whoa, what's he going to do to her? Like, and then nothing happens, right? But I was like, oh no.
It keeps you like anticipating.
Yeah. I was anticipating something to happen, to go horribly wrong. And yeah, that's
you never know what's gonna happen.
You never know what's gonna happen with that character. Oh, dude, it's so good. So he's this character named Longlegs. And I was looking up a couple things right now because there's a couple things I wanted to look
why
into.
Why is he named Longlegs? I don't even know why that I came out of the movie not knowing why his name was Longlegs.
I'm not too certain.
Am I stupid? Did I miss something?
No, like, I don't know why he's called that either. I'm not too certain.
Like, I know he says in the beginning, he's like, oh, I got my long legs on today. Like, but that's like the only reference to it other than like he just uses that name.
Yeah, I think he just uses it just because. I don't think there's like a specific reason. Because, and the reason why they know his name is, or why he goes by the name Long Legs, I think his actual name is like Cooper or something like that, right? I think.
Yeah.
But the pseudonym that he chooses is Long Legs is because at the scenes of crimes that he, you know, quote unquote, is at, right, quote unquote, there's always a note left in his handwriting of a bunch of, they look like, they're just symbols. It's a bunch of symbols. It's a bunch of cryptic symbols on a piece of paper. And the FBI, they can't decipher what these symbols are. And at the bottom of the note is the word Long Legs. So and there's a string of murders happening. And at the end, whenever they show up, all they see is, aside from the dead bodies, this note with a bunch of random text, random symbols, and then Long Legs. So they know that this person, Long Legs, is connected to all of these murders. They don't know how he's doing it, though, because there's no sign of forced entry. They don't know how Long Legs himself is getting into these places to kill these families. And so that's kind of stumping the FBI up until Lee Harker, the main character of the movie, gets introduced to the case.
Kind of a funny name.
Lee Harker?
I keep wanting to say Parker.
Lee Parker. But the reason why she's put on the case is because she has this subtle, almost like psychic nature to herself. Because she's able to detect, for instance, where a like killer is at in certain locations, right? That's kind of how the movie begins. We see her kind of take down a guy after correctly identifying which house it would be at without her really knowing. She just had a feeling like it's in this place. So she's got some supernatural element to it. And so they put her on the case after they realize, hey, yo, she's doing pretty good with a bunch of these cases. Let's see what she's got to bring to the table here. And she immediately begins to decode the text, the symbols, these ritualistic writings almost. And she's decoding it and she's kind of, you know, putting some pieces together as to who this Long Legs character could be. And they come to the conclusion, a bunch of clues come together, that the families that are, you know, all murdered, they all have one thing in common. Well, a couple things in common, that the daughters, there's always a daughter in these families, and the daughters, their birthdays are always on the 14th of whatever month it may be, whether it be May, October, August, whatever, but their birthdays are always on the 14th. And it turns out that it seems like the father figure of the family is always the one to kill them. But the thing that is weird is that they all have the Long Legs note. And it's not like it's someone else writing these notes, right? It's not like it's an imitator copying, you know, an original note, because they're all written by the same handwriting. So they know it's this one dude, but they don't know how they're getting the fathers to convince them to go after the family. They don't know what exactly. They have the pieces of the puzzle, but they don't know how they go together yet. They don't know really, they don't have the big picture. And So, you know, our main character, by the way, is Lee Harker. She's played by Micah Monroe. And she actually is the main character of It Follows. So she has a track record in being pretty good horror movies. I don't know if you've seen It Follows, Alex. But she's the main character in this. They put together that, well, she puts together that there is this pattern. So basically, she puts together that there's this pattern to the murders, because while all of the girls, their birthdays are on the 14th, they don't all die on the 14th. But they all die within 6 days of the day 14th. So
6 days before or 6 days after?
6 days within. So it, some of them die 6 days before, some of them die 6 days after, some of them die 5 days before, some of them die 5 days after, or 3 days before, or 3 days after. And if you remember, Alex, this is what creates the triangle. It's a pattern. So one of them dies 6 days before, then 5 days before, then 4 days before, then 3 days before, then 2 days before, then 1 day before, then on the actual day, and then 1 day after, 2 days after, 3 days after, 4 days after. So it creates this triangle, remember, because it's this pattern. And I liked that as they were explaining it, I was following close. I was following intently. Like I was following along, and I was putting the pieces together in my mind. I love that you were able to kind of go along for the ride. And this is a movie where you kind of have to pay attention to every aspect of it. It's not like, this isn't really something you could put on in the background. I mean, I guess you can for the vibes, but for the actual story, you kind of really have to analyze everything. And so I was like, okay. And then they mentioned the amount of murders that happened. But if you trace like that triangle sequence they made with the dates and all that, there's a date missing because he hasn't committed the last one yet. So for instance, let's say he does 6 days before, 5 days before, 4 days, 3 days, 2 days, one, the actual date, 1 day after, 2 days after. Oh, there's not one for 3 days after, but there's one for 4 days after, 5 days after, 6 days after. There's a little gap in that triangle. So it hasn't happened yet. So they're going to discover it. And that is, of course, kind of where the movie ends, right? That's the climax of the movie, the very ending, the final date to complete the triangle. And so she knows, and if you remember, they mentioned this, that there's another one. They have to prevent this last murder, but they don't know where it's going to be. They don't know who is going to, who's going to have this birthday and, you know, to prevent it. And so she realizes that this all begins, at this farmhouse. And I forget the reason why I was tracking it along. I had it all mapped out in my head, and it made sense. I kind of, why did they go back to the farmhouse? Do you remember why they went back to that farmhouse? The one where they found the doll at? I don't remember. There was a reason why.
I think it was,
oh, it was one of the murders. There was,
oh, because she lived.
She lived. Yes, she lived, and they had to go visit her. So they went to the house to investigate what was different from this case from the others. Oh, because that's why there's the gap, I think. Remember how I mentioned there's a gap? Yeah. That's why. She is the gap. She didn't actually die that day. So they go to visit her. Why is she different than the others? And that's simply because I think they said that she wasn't home, right? Or whatever. I don't remember.
It was at school, they said.
Oh,
it's even though we kind of learned that's not really true.
Oh wait, what? Why? What happened? I don't remember. I'm already forgetting.
Well, I think she still gets like caught by him.
Right. Oh yeah, because yeah. I think you're right. So they go to this to the house. So they have two goals now. They want to visit the farmhouse where this girl was at to see what's different, to see if they missed anything, and then two, visit the actual girl who's in this psychiatric facility, this kind of institution, because she's kind of recluse, I guess.
Yeah.
So they go to the house, and I don't know. I think it was in one of the letters that decodes rather, and I think one of the letters says X marks the spot. A bunch of the letters decode a bunch of different things. And I think it was from the letter, or unless it was from one of the visions she has, because again, she's psychic. I think it's one of those two. She comes across where X marks the spot. So they go to the barn house, and they notice almost like this trail of X's, and she follows them, and they go to the top of the barn, and there's this crucifix on the floor. Now, of course, the crucifix itself is an X, and the crucifix marks the spot. What is under the crucifix? And so they lift it up, and they lift up the planks. And I at first thought this was a body, dude, because of the way it looked. But it's this...
Yeah.
Yeah, right?
We later learn it kind of is.
Yeah. They pull it out, and it's this life-size doll of a girl. And it's very creepy looking. It has... I think they said it has actual human hair. And...
Yeah,
I was like, oh, that's creepy. Well, like, I at this point didn't have all the pieces, right? And I was like trying to, I was so I don't know if you noticed, but during the whole movie, dude, I was just trying to piece this together. Like what does it mean? Like, what's this new puzzle piece that we have? And so they have the doll now, and they're like, okay, well, what's up with the doll? So they take the doll. They show it later. They take the doll kind of to this examiner, but in the meantime, they then visit the actual girl. And one thing that they find out is that the girl was actually recently visited by Longlegs himself. But when they checked the logs of the visitors, he actually signed in with Lee Harker's name. And that sends alarms flying, because then they go, Longlegs knows who Lee Harker is? Like, what's her connection with Longlegs? And that's where we begin to find out, oh, wait, there's a connection between the main character and Longlegs. But what is that connection? And so they visit the girl, and the girl's clearly messed up, dude. Like, she is not all there. And
they actually mentioned that before she was in a comatose state.
Yes. And that she got out of it by this visit of this visitor. Why did that happen? Why did he visit her? And why did he use Lee Harker's name? Like, all these questions begin to arise, and the movie will kind of answer them for you. Again, it's one of those things where you kind of have to really pay attention to piece it all together. But man, dude, at the end, when it all comes together, oh, oof, dude, it is great. So then they go to the examiner's office, right? To find out what's in this doll. Or to see if there's anything suspicious about this doll. And the examiner goes and pulls out this kind of metallic ball from the head of the doll. And it's like the silver ball, rather. And he goes, it's empty. Like, there's nothing in it. They're like, even if we crack it open, like, you're not going to find anything in it. Now that's obviously supposed to be something, and we'll get to that later, because we do kind of get revealed what that is. And so what's the connection of this doll now? Why is it here? What is its connection with Longlegs? Eventually her new partner, I forget his name. He asks her, what's your connection with Longlegs? Because there is one. Now Lee Harker, I think she doesn't remember. But it's revealed that on her birthday, one day before her birthday, actually, she was visited when she was a little girl on her ninth birthday, or the day before her ninth birthday, by Longlegs, and her mother was home. So her mother knows about this, but she doesn't really remember this. And so they go, okay, well, we have to question your mother, because she clearly knows things that maybe you don't know. I forget why, but they end up arresting Longlegs himself. Oh, they end up arresting him because she finds Polaroids. And this is the thing that you mentioned about the jump scare. She finds Polaroids in her childhood home, because her mother says, oh, I have everything that, you know, since you left, there's a little, all of your childhood things, they're still in your room. And so she finds these Polaroids, and one of them has Longlegs himself there. And I honestly, It may be a cheap jump scare, but it got me good head. I like that jump scare of her immediately pulling up the Polaroid and it cuts to Long Legs himself. It was so creepy, dude. I mean, ugh, it was so effective. And so she shows this Polaroid and she's like to the FBI and they're like, okay, I think it's him. And I mean, they don't have any real substantial evidence that it's this dude, but this is what they're going to go off of. And they need to build a case now. So they arrest him. They bring in Long Legs. And Long Legs, I mean, he pretty much kind of confirms that, like, yeah, he's the dude kind of behind it all. He doesn't outright say it, but they show kind of some of his interrogation footage, which is creepy. And in it, he wishes Lee Harker happy birthday. And they say that it goes on for 24 minutes. Dude, and what we see is so creepy. It's so unnerving, dude. Oh, my God. And so Lee Harker, then she goes, before she goes off to see her mother to ask her, you know, what more she knows about Long Legs. What is this connection of Long Legs in the family? Why is there a Polaroid of Long Legs in their house? But before she goes to meet Long Legs himself. Now, who's now in custody? And there's, I like this motif of there's something underneath, you know, he mentions, to in a flashback to young Leo Harker and her mother, you know, who are you? And he's like, oh, a friend of a friend of a friend. Oh, what friend? And he's like, oh, the friend that's underneath, the friend that lives below. And I like this slight allusion to this every now and then, right? When she asks, oh, where's Long Legs to interrogate him myself? And the FBI agent goes, oh, he's below us, or he's under us, like a layer under, and the doll is found a layer.
It is very interesting the way she says it.
Mm-hmm. The way she said it was very like, why did you say it like that? Like, that's not how a normal person would say it. But also the doll was found underneath the crucifix. There's this motif of things being under. And so she goes to interrogate Long Legs. And Long Legs basically confirms that, like, oh, yes, your mother knows more than she's kind of letting on. And my work, I may be under custody, but my work's not done yet. Like, my work is far from over. And that's when he begins to kind of laugh and slam his face onto this was horrifying. Slams his face into the table and he starts bleeding and he basically takes himself out, dude.
He annihilates his nose. There's like a scene of him going up and his nose is just gone. Like, it's just annihilated because he smashes it against the table.
Yeah, and it is. Oh, and he kills himself like that. He just with the.
What does he say before he dies?
Oh, what does he say? I don't remember.
The same thing the mom says at the end.
Happy birthday.
Hails a certain person that.
Oh, yeah, he implied does,
the entire hail time.
Satan, yeah.
Yes, yeah. He does. Yes, he does. Which I feel like. Well, that's one of the things that kind of disappointed me. I kind of wanted it to just be a human, like not necessarily paranormal.
Oh,
And that's kind of the thing. I was like, man, it's kind of a cop out. Well, not a cop out, but you know. But the way they do it is pretty good.
I get what you mean. Like, you would have rather it be more grounded and not have any of this.
Yeah,
I see what you mean.
Or at least be a little more vague with it. Kind of like, I don't know. Yeah, just a bit more vague. Kind of like how Late Night with the Devil kind of was.
Mm, right.
Until the very end. It was kind of vague until the very end, which I guess is similar to this movie. I don't know. I just, that was like, I was kind of hoping for just like a human-based one, but it is... If anything, it adds to the terror that was this movie.
Yeah. Well, speaking about that, then how did you feel? Just a quick question. In the similar vein of this, what did you think about the main character having this psychic ability? Did you think that was also because a little too far, or what how'd you feel about that?
I think I feel like that was a little bit more forgivable.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know. That one threw me off a little bit, but I mean, overall, again, they worked with it pretty well.
Yeah. That's interesting. I wonder, there's probably, Yeah, I get what you mean. Like, maybe, I mean, it could have been different, you know. I mean, I don't know how it would work, but I mean, I guess the story would be completely different is the thing. But yeah, there is a supernatural element. Like, this isn't just a straight serial killer kind of storyline. There's other elements to this that are supernatural. That's kind of what he reveals once he reveals in the interrogation, and they kind of do some like more digging on him, that he's kind of a little, he's into the occult, and he's into these ritualistic things, and like the symbols he uses, I think, are of the occult. Like, what does that mean? Like how is he still, like, does he control people, to like the families? Like, what's his connection to them? Like, they know it's him, but they just don't have the evidence to prove that it's him. Like, they don't, they just need that missing link, kind of. And she's hoping that her mother can provide this. And so then, after Long Legs takes himself out, smiling and grinning, she goes to visit her mother with an agent, and a different agent. And she tells the agent, the agent says, oh, I'm gonna stay in the car. And she's like, all righty, I'm gonna go investigate. The Lee Harker goes investigate while her new assistant stays in the car. And while she's kind of rummaging throughout the house, you see that a figure is walking up to the car where her assistant's at, or her partner. And this figure has a shotgun and takes out Lee Harker's partner and shoots her. And it's Lee Harker's mother. So why is Lee Harker's mother doing this? And she's dressed like a nun, kind of. So what's going on here? And Lee Harker goes outside and she's like, mom, like, what's happening? What are you doing? Why did you shoot her? And you see Lee Harker's mom has her gun and she's pointing it at what I first thought was a girl. They actually show what she's pointing her gun at, and it's a life-size doll that the family has, a la the life-size doll that was found in the barn house of the girl who escaped, or the girl who lived. And she's like, wait a minute.
The girl who lived.
The girl who alternate Harry Potter. And she goes, wait a minute, there's another one of those. What does this mean? Why do we have one of those? And I think the mother just shoots the doll, and we see she kind of blows the head off the doll, and we see that there is a silver ball in this one too, but this one has been kind of broken open, and all of this black mist comes out, and then you kind of start realizing, like, okay, maybe the other doll had something in it. But once the family kind of activated and did the thing that Longlegs wanted them to do, maybe that mist leaves. Maybe it's a form of magic. And spoilers, that's kind of what it is. So then this hold on Lee Harker kind of leaves. They're, because that's what this doll was for. This doll was for her. This doll was for this family. This doll was for Lee Harker. So now that this ball no longer has this thing in it, she kind of falls to the floor, and it's because all her memories are coming back. And they mention how I think it's either her mom or Longlegs that says, we can have the dolls show the girls what we really want them to see. So that's why Lee Harker has no memory of what her mother used to do or of any connection with Long Legs, because the doll, as long as that doll was there, that she did not remember any of that. But now she's going to remember this, and you kind of see more flashbacks in her mind now that the doll has been kind of, its magic has been kind of taken out. And that's why at the end, spoilers, when we have that new, you know, her partner and her family, that their birthday party that she attends at the very end, when everything's happening, right, the father is killing the mother and coming for the daughter. The daughter, she seems unfazed because that doll still has its magic. It's making the girl see what they want the girl to see. She doesn't see them, you know, she doesn't see her father killing the family. But Lee Harker can, because that doll no longer has a hold on her. So then that connection, then the connection, here's where the connections start kind of coming together. And it's like, oh, okay, okay. It's making sense now. So there is, so Lee Harker kind of passes out because all of her memories come back. Then the mother, or Lee Harker comes to, and her mother's not there. It's already kind of late in the day or something like that. And she's like, where's my mother? What's happening? Like, so she, gets a call, I think, right? By her partner. How does she end up at her partner's house again? I forgot. I don't remember, but she ends up at her partner's house, and it's the same day. And they kind of mentioned this earlier in the movie and I kind of forgot about it. Her partner's daughter from the beginning is going to have a birthday party. And she asks, you know, the Lee Harker.
I don't think that's her partner. It's her boss.
Oh, her boss. You're right. That's her boss.
Yeah, you're throwing me off for a second. She takes a car that we saw. So, okay, well, a big reveal is that the times in the movie where it snapped to Longlegs mm-hmm. working in his basement, turns out that was the basement of the mom's house.
Yes.
Where she wakes up. And then there's a scene where, a very unnerving scene, where he's driving his car and screaming, and then it fades out. And that was a very good scene, very unnerving scene. And she finds the car in the garage after getting a phone call from who we can presume to be the devil, because it's a very gravelly voice.
Oh, yeah.
Who says, you are late for the party.
Yes. Oh, that was so good.
So she takes that car.
Oh.
And she speeds over to his house. Because it's established that she knows where he lives because she drove him home early in the movie.
Yeah. And did you notice that was his car initially before I told you?
Yeah.
Yeah. Because it's that same ornament that he had hanging and his car is at her house. So the reason why he was hanging out in their family's basement, right, when she wakes up, that's where his car was at and all that, is because Harker was originally supposed to be a victim of Longlegs. Her birthday was on the 14th, but her mother made a deal with him that as if Lee Harker lived, she would help out Longlegs fulfill the rest of the murders. And so basically Longlegs kind of hung out in their basement making these dolls, using his magic, putting the magic in these silver orbs inside these dolls. And the mom, dressed as a nun, would go to these houses of these girls and drop off these life-size dolls and go, hey, you won a contest at the local church, or hey, you were chosen randomly for this. Here's your reward, basically, for this life-size dolls. And these life-size dolls would then get brought into the houses of these families. But these families all had daughters whose birthdays were on the 14th, and the way that they were able to find these connections, they didn't say this, but I think it's alluded to the way they show this. They use the psychic nature of the girl, of Lee Harker, to find out, I imagine, which families have daughters whose birthdays fall on the 14th, because they mentioned that they use Lee Harker, if you remember, where they put like this towel over her head and the mother and Longlegs are there. But Harker doesn't remember this at first because that magic of the doll is still there. But then she kind of puts it back together like, no, like they used me when I was a kid, kind of. She doesn't say that, but it's inferred through the flashbacks they have. And so that's how they were able to use the daughter to kind of get the rest of the other girls. And so the mother would go to these houses dropping off these dolls. And once these dolls were in these houses, the magic would kind of have its effect, and the father would always go about and kill the entire family and leave a note with the handwriting of Longlegs, which of course it's the magic of Longlegs. I imagine it's like this form of mind control almost. And at the end, sign it Longlegs and leave it there. So every time they find these notes, they go, how did Longlegs do it? There's no forced entry or anything because it's from within. It's the father who's doing this, who is under the enthrall of Longlegs' magic. So that's how Longlegs is doing it. He's doing these murders, not directly, but indirectly. He is the killer, but not at his hands, technically. His hands are technically clean, I guess. And So now her boss, whose daughter is going to have a birthday party on the 14th, which is today, she doesn't.
Oh my God, it is. Oh, it's the 13th. Yeah.
13th. Ooh. Oh, eerily close. Oh, as of recording, it's the 13th. I didn't mean today as in today, but like today in the movie. But that's funny, dude. Imagine we had recorded this tomorrow, dude. That would have been an eerie coincidence.
Oh, yeah.
That's eerie. You're right. She goes to that house because she gets a phone call, and it's this sinister voice saying, what did it say again? I forgot.
Yeah, no, it was, you're late for the birthday party. You're late for the birthday party.
Yeah, and so she shows up to her boss's home, and he's a little off when he answers the door. And you and I both notice two different things. When he closes the door behind Lee Harker, his face kind of changes, like the sinister look. But also, there's kind of this shadow that looms over the door. And it's this shadow that they begin to reveal at the end of the movie. It's this shadow with, like, horns. Like, do you remember seeing it throughout another
eras?
And dude, it's very creepy how it's just, like, once you notice it, it's like, whoa, 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 hold on, there's something there. And it was on the door when he closed it. And I was like, whoa, 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 something's going on. And Lee Harker sits down, and she notices that her mom's here. Her mom's here dressed as a nun, and there's this giant box in her hand. And she looks at the little girl, and the little girl has this life-size doll in the house. And she's kind of hugging it. And she knows, Lee Harker knows what's coming. And her mom goes, like, well, the dad's off. The dad's off, right? With his interactions, everything he's saying, or her boss. He's a little off, and the mom, not Lee Harker's mom, but the mom of the family, she goes, why don't you go cut the cake or something? And the dad goes, yeah, let me find something good to really cut the cake open. And the father and the mother of the family, they go off into the kitchen, and Lee Harker's mom, who's sitting there on the couch, right, dressed as a nun with the box, she's like, oh, like it's gonna happen regardless. Like, just let it, you know, play out or whatever. Basically tantalizing Lee Harker, like, this is meant to happen. This has to happen. This is the last one. I don't think they ever say what happens if they once this girl dies, once you know it all goes down, because they never mention what happens when all of the murderers, like, complete themselves. You know what I mean? Like, this is the last one. This is the missing one. What happens when it's done and finalized, though? Like, what was Long Legs' intention? It's probably something really sinister. The mother's like, this is the last one. This is it. It's all kind of leading to this. Like, you have to let this one happen. And the father comes out of the kitchen. Obviously, he's killed the mother of the family. You hear it happen. But the girl's unfazed, right? She's hugging the doll because, like, as they mentioned before, the doll makes the children see what they want the children to see.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's...
Oh, go for it.
It's... I forget what I was going to say. God dang it.
I was mentioning how the doll makes the children see what they want to see.
Oh, yeah. And just... It's just... It makes the mom has to view everything. And I don't know why that would be so important. Maybe just to punish her. But, I mean, she's basically doing it because she was told to. She basically made a deal with the devil, which she should never do. that if she helped the devil kill all these people, I assume to revive him or bring him back is what I would assume would be the goal, or to empower him. They would be free. And if she didn't help them, and if for whatever reason his plan failed, both her and our main character would burn in hell for eternity.
Oh, yeah, she mentions that. So I think because of that deal, she has to complete the murders. Which I guess that means the ending's a little ambiguous, because, like, what happens to the main character? Because, spoiler, she doesn't let the father... of the family, her boss, she doesn't let him complete the murders. She shoots him before he gets a chance to get to his daughter. And then when Lee Harker, our main character, her mother stands up and she's like, whoa, whoa, hold on, like, no, this has to happen. She shoots her mother. And then she goes and looks at the doll and proceeds to try to shoot it, but she's run out of bullets. So the doll's just, it's just there. And that's kind of how the movie ends. Oh, no, the movie ends with it cutting back to Long Legs and he's grinning and he says, "Hail Satan." And I don't know if that means that he's won or if, I don't know. I don't know what that means. Well, because the murders weren't complete, I guess we still have that missing date. But does that mean that the daughter now will burn in hell in eternity?
I assume.
I like it's a little ambiguous.
And another thing is, in the end, she uses a little snub-nosed revolver to kill both her boss, who was about to kill her daughter, or his daughter, and her. She also uses it to kill her mother. Mm-hmm. So it's a snub-nosed revolver. It's she uses two shots on the boss and then one shot on her mother. So theoretically, she should have three more shots. And then she aims it. What?
Well, did she use it prior? I'm trying to think if maybe she used it prior.
No. She had a previous gun. She was using a semi-auto. It looked like a SIG P226, which was issued in the 90s for certain cops or for FBI. This was a snub-nosed revolver. So it was a completely different gun. So you can assume that it was loaded fully. So it's interesting because at the end when she points at the doll to kill the doll to release the child's memories and I assume like release the influence of the devil because that's what happens when those are broken, apparently. Mm-hmm. That just made me think about something. But the gun jams. She clicks it three times, which you would assume she had three bullets left. And
she
each
does
time
do it three times. That means it.
Yeah.
That means they must be in there because she knows that there's six shots in that gun.
Yeah. So she used the three bullets, so she knows she has three more rounds, and it clicks three times. So the devil, I presume the devil somehow used his influence to prevent her from destroying that doll.
That means that the doll could probably be used in the future again, right?
Yeah.
Damn.
Or she can be influenced again in the future. Which, damn. I just realized something. They said they cut open the ball for the other doll that they found in the farmhouse.
Yeah.
And after that, they said that the girl jumped from the roof.
Oh, you're right.
And they were saying like, oh, maybe he told her to do that. I think they released her memories.
Oh, you're right.
And she remembered everything and she just killed herself because she couldn't handle it.
Dude, oh my, dude, you're so right. You're right. That's spot on. Wow, I didn't put that together.
Because that's what we see the dust when the mom shoots her doll.
Yeah.
I don't know why the mom shoots her doll. That part didn't make too much sense to me, because if it releases her mind and her memories, I guess because the mom presumed that the job would be done.
Maybe, yeah. Maybe
because that was the final one. And like free her, let her live her life.
Yeah. And her, I mean,
or
and
she let probably... her, allow her to grow up.
Yeah.
As she mentioned.
Yes. Oh, dude, you're right. She does mention, you know, like, oh, I allowed you to grow up. Like, oh, dude, I think upon a second rewatch, we're going to find even more details that make this much more connected. Because even right now, discussing this amongst the two of us, we're putting together things that maybe one or the other may have missed. And I think this movie, I think we need a second rewatch.
probably, yeah.
I didn't realize that you're right. I think you're totally spot on.
Enrique. I regret not having Enrique for this.
Well, the thing is, he's not here right now. He's not.
He's no longer with us.
He's the one now who left town and got split in half.
Yeah. No, he's having a great time.
Now,
I'm not going to say where he is, but he's having a great time where he is.
Yeah. Yeah, I hope he's having a rager right now for us.
Yep. But yeah, no, I thinking back, I think that's what happened. I think because they say that it should, yes, they cut open the ball and say, oh, there's nothing in there. I think that's they release her memories.
Yeah, because she offs herself after the ball's been.
Yeah, because there's no reason for her to die.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. That you're 100% spot on. She remembers everything, and she probably can't live with it. And she just, wow, dude. Oh, I'm liking this even more. That sucks for this girl. Or maybe. Oh, dude, I'm thinking of theories now. Maybe because the mother says, oh, I didn't, you know, I let you live, right? She didn't break that doll when Lee Harker was a child, because as she says, yeah, I let you grow old. Maybe metaphorically, in a way, that's why Lee Harker, even though she tries, she ultimately, right? Not because she lack of trying, right? She's trying to shoot the doll, but maybe it's in a way metaphorically trying to let this little girl live a life now. Because if that doll's broken, the memory of seeing her father or knowing what her father has done, maybe that might do something to her. So it's almost like, no, let's not let this little girl, let's let this little girl live in, what's that saying? Something is innocence. What's that saying again? I forgot. Ignorance is bliss, rather. I feel like there's multiple ways you can analyze that ending. Like, what does that mean? Like, why do those three bullets not go off?
I think it's just the influence of the devil.
Yeah, it could be that. Yeah. Wow.
Because I mean, it's shown that the doll does have the power to influence things. It influences the people to, you know, the fathers to kill the children. And I assume there's some significance there as well, like the father killing the mother and the daughter.
Yeah. That is, can I just say, this is one of the most unique storylines I have ever seen. It is so unique.
It takes a lot of elements from various things and combines them into a unique story. That is really interesting.
Yes, it really is. Wow. I mean, I'm shocked. I already liked it to begin with, but now that we're discussing this, like, I am at a loss for words. I truly am at a loss for words. So there's a couple things that I kind of wanted to bring up, and these are just little things off the side, and then we can go in depth as to how we feel further about the movie, and then give our rating. So the director and writer, same person, his name is Osgood Perkins. Osgood Perkins, I did not know this until I went to IMDb, because I was trying to search for something else and this kind of came up and I was like, whoa, that's an interesting fact. He is the son of Anthony Perkins, and Anthony Perkins is the actor who portrayed Norman Bates in Psycho. So the director of this movie is the son of the actor of Norman Bates.
Interesting.
That is interesting. I did not know that. Here's another thing. There's just like this Bible reference about like this entity who stood on the sands of the sea and he saw a beast right out of the seas. It's like a scripture from the Bible. I only knew about it because it refers to the Antichrist. And I remember that because we were going to do an episode on that, kind of how for the First Omen, kind of how we did a Bohemian Grove episode for Late Night with the Devil. I was like, well, we can do a topic for. We never ended up doing it. If you, our listeners, want to hear us do that, we can still do that. But when they mentioned that in the movie, I was like, hey, I know that. I did research for that. I know what that is referencing.
Yeah, you mentioned that.
Yeah. And another thing I found interesting is I think the movie opens up, if you remember, with this writing on the screen. It's there's text on the screen. It's red text on a black background. And
oh yeah, yeah, that's true.
And I couldn't. This is what I was trying to look up. I couldn't remember what the exact writing was. And I had remembered, I tried to memorize who wrote that because I wanted to look it up afterwards, but I completely forgot. Now,
I think it was for, it's a T-Rex, yes. 1980 something.
Yes. And the reason why I looked it up and I remembered about that is because at the end of the movie, there's a song that plays and you're like, hey, this song's pretty good. And, the song is Banga Gong. If you've ever heard the song, Banga Gong, or Get It On, Banga Gong, whatever. It's made by the band T-Rex. And so I think the opening text may be lyrics from T-Rex, or maybe it's something they said. I don't know. I wanted to look up what exactly the text was to see what the further connection is, because the movie begins with T-Rex and it ends with T-Rex, but one's visual text and the other is audio. So I wanted to see if there was a deeper connection, which I'm sure there is. Someone listening to this is like, hey, oh, you're missing something. And it's pretty big, dude. I'm surprised you missed this. But I'm just pointing this out there. I found a connection to the beginning and the end of the movie, but I don't know what it is because I don't have that actual text. There was one other thing I think I wanted to mention. That's why when we didn't leave immediately from the theater once the credits began rolling, because I started typing things out that I was like, wait a minute, like there's some things I need to, because I didn't want to forget like any connection that that I may have that I may have found. What do you give this movie overall out of 10? What's your rating for it?
I'd say an 8 out of 10.
An 8 out of 10. Okay. Oh, what do you think my rating would be? I want you to guess.
9.5 out of 10.
I was going to go with the 10 out of 10.
I didn't want to say 10 out of 10, but yeah, I was thinking it.
I really liked it. It was so good. I mean, I don't know what I was expecting really going into it. I mean, based off of, you know, the early part of this episode where we go over our expectations, but wow, did these exceed my expectations. I was so in for it. The storyline, the atmosphere, the aesthetic, it was so crisp, and I love the colors, whether they be dark and gloomy or this deep red. The scares, whether they be simple scares like something in the background that you're like, wait a minute, that shouldn't be there, like the shadows, or even like the things that are in your face, like the jump scares. I know sometimes they can, like you mentioned, they can go for cheap jump scares, but I like them in this. I didn't find a problem with them. And another thing, for instance, and I just remember this, of things in the background when she hears, and it's so good, dude. I really want to rewatch this now. Just thinking about everything, the sequence of her at home at night putting everything together is a perfect example of what I mentioned about subtle scares, and then like scares are like right in your face, because she's at home alone putting things together, and suddenly in a loud jump scare you get a knock at the door, and it's this massive menacing knock, kind of like the one in The Strangers, just banging on the door. And her house, by the way, it's a gorgeous house, but it's in the middle of nowhere. It's in the forest. And so that's an example of like a scare right in your face, right? It's a jump scare. And she leaves the house, right? She's an FBI agent. She's got a gun. She can take care of this on her own. She leaves the house, goes outside to see what's up, to see, you know, to encounter the danger. She doesn't see anything outside. But when she turns around, she sees a figure walking around inside of the house. And that's like a subtle scare, right? That you see kind of in the background. It's a little blurred. And I saw that and I was like, ooh, I don't like that. yeah. And then now that I'm thinking about it, every time she calls her mother, her mother is always asking like about her jobs. Maybe because her mother knows that she's on the trail of Longlegs, and as to the mother's connection with Longlegs, she's always like, can you tell me what it is that you're doing? And she's always like, you don't want to know. You're a nurse. I'm sure you get this all the time or whatever. Like, you wouldn't want to know. But the mother's always insistent every time she calls. Like, what is it you're working on specifically? And she's always telling her, are you always saying your nightly prayers? You know, they work and whatnot. And I think that's why she laughs when they're in person and she says, I haven't been saying my nightly prayers all this whole time because I don't think they work. Her mother laughs because she knows, oh no, they probably would, because like, I know that there's actual evil in this world.
She says they don't do shit.
Yeah. I'm just putting together.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think this movie requires a second rewatch. The first viewing is more like just taking it all in for the first time and like, whoa, this is spooky. And then the second rewatch, or my second viewing of it, I would probably find so many things I did not either find or put together, so many connections that still I feel we're leaving out on the table. I think this is probably my favorite Nicolas Cage performance, or at least the scariest.
He did really good.
Dude, he did so good. He was so unsettling. I heard, and I could be wrong, but I heard that either the writer or Nicolas Cage, one of them, their goal with Long Legs was, you've seen Silence of the Lambs, right?
Yeah, I was not a fan.
Yeah. We'll get to that movie eventually. And I'm curious as to why you're not a fan of that one. But if you remember Silence of the Lambs, Buffalo Bill is a character, right? He's a character. He's the main villain of that. I heard someone say that the goal for Nicolas Cage's character in this is to be a more sinister and unsettling version of Buffalo Bill. And I think he succeeds. I think he's scarier than Buffalo Bill, dude. And the makeup on his face, like, it looks so, like, messy. He looks like a messy, like, character. That's a character I do not want to bump into, dude. I really was, like, nervous for that girl in that convenience store, because I really was like, oh, no, what's he gonna do? Like, oh, like, no, like, it's so good. Man, this movie is so good.
It's very good.
I feel like I should say more things other than it's so good. Like, I need to really expand my vocabulary. delicious.
Yeah, it's highly recommend everyone go see it. Amazing movie. Keeps you on your toes. Really makes you scared. As Robert said, if there's going to be any movie this year to maybe give us nightmares, it's going to be this one.
Yeah, dude, I'm going to be sleeping with one eye open tonight, dude. Dude, what if, I kind of want to do this. What if, like, I just ship you, like, a life-size doll, but don't have a return address or a name, and it's just to Alex?
I'll cry.
Dude, when you got up to go to the restroom in the middle of the movie, I was like, dude, I kind of had to go, but I'm just going to hold it in because I do not want to miss.
Yeah, I miss. I come back, and there's, like the killing going on. I was like, what the fuck did I miss?
I know. Yeah. I think that's it. Is that it? Is that everything?
I think it's pretty much everything.
I want to marinate more in discussing Long Legs, but I think that's it. I think that's everything we have to say.
For now, anyway.
For now. Yeah, we have to get Enrique's thoughts on Long Legs. We have to get his thoughts on Long Legs, dude.
Definitely.
I saw that this director also made another horror movie called The Black Coat's Daughter, or something like that. I'm gonna watch that now because I don't know what it's about, and I've always heard about it, but I'm intrigued now after having seen this. I definitely want to watch that. Yeah, that's it. I've been your co-host, Robert.
And this has been your boy, Alex.
And we'll see y'all on The Witching Hour. Woo.
I love you. Hey guys, it's me, Daddy Long Legs. I worship the men downstairs. Apparently it's smashing at the box office.
That's so good, dude. I hope it is.
Number two hot release. Wow.
That's good. Number two after what?
It's making about 20 to 23. Oh, you know, Minions, of course. 20 to 23 million projected.
Oh, that's right. I was kind of like, is Maxine number one right now? I forgot. Despicable Me.
Maxine.
Dude, as kids are going to see, they were coming out of the theater going like, dude, that was so fucking scary. That was so creepy, dude. And I saw one kid turn to look at us. Go like, wait a minute. What are we getting into?
Hold on.
Why is this Despicable Me 4 creepier than the others? That's funny.